You are a woman. You are an entrepreneur. You are a mom. You are an executive. You are a student. You are anything you want to be. You are a woman of infinite possibilities and endless opportunities. Now here's your host, Kathleen Cowley.
Hi, welcome everyone for joining me today for the Every Woman Can Be Speaker Spotlight Radio. I'm your host, Kathleen Cowley, the Business Service Advisor of the premier organization Every Woman Can Be, and I'm also the owner of Casey Streamline Concepts, offering business productivity solutions. Now, a little bit about Every Woman Can Be. It's a premier organization to provide women the opportunity to learn more about business, women's health issues, self-improvement, and many more topics. So I invite you for the next about 30 minutes to relax, and if you're driving, please be hands-free, because I know you're going to really enjoy listening to my show today with my guest, Lisa Woody, who is a chef and owner of Homemade Fresh right here in Charlotte. Now, Lisa started cooking in college because she did not enjoy eating processed, unhealthy food. And I think for most of us, if we went to college, we know exactly what she was talking about. So this was the beginning of her journey towards preparing healthier foods. Now, Lisa's now a former restaurant and catering business owner and joined a business that opened her eyes wider to the concept of wellness. She founded Homemade Fresh to blend her passion for cooking with her goal to help people experience overall wellness. And personally, I'd like to give you a testimonial about Lisa and her cooking. It's just delicious. I've attended an event that she did cater the event, and she got rave reviews for how fresh and delicious her food was. So I now welcome Lisa to joining me today.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing this beautiful day?
I'm great. Happy spring. Okay.
That's great. Yeah. I know we've had some trouble getting this recording done, so I'm so glad we're here and we can just share some wonderful things with our listeners. So, Lisa, give me a little bit of background about why you did start Homemade Fresh.
Well, you know, you did a great job of sort of explaining in the beginning of, you know, how I got really interested in cooking. I come from a family full of really great cooks, but I'm also Southern. And in the South, when you grow up, a lot of times, you end up taking this wonderful, you know, lots of fresh vegetables. My parents always had a garden, but by the time they finished cooking them, they weren't necessarily very healthy anymore, and they kind of lost their nutritional value, too. So over the years, I'm a really creative person, and I started learning how to put healthier spins on comfort foods. I learned to appreciate and cook foods from other cultures. I started learning how to, you know, cook more with spices and other than, you know, the traditional Southern can of bacon grease. So I just sort of developed those cooking skills over the years and different ways of cooking. And when I joined the wellness company, which I know you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, it really started making me take a hard look at, you know, the way that people eat these days. And I think that we live in such a fast-paced society that people end up relying a lot on processed convenience foods because they're quick and they're easy. And, you know, for a lot of people, they don't want to cook, they don't have time to cook, they don't have the energy to cook at the end of a long day. So I sort of, you know, did a lot of research on holistic medicine and, you know, nutrition and real foods. And I cook with foods, you know, that I say are real foods, and by that I mean foods from nature, not science. And I realized that I could sort of combine all of that with my my cooking abilities and my previous experience as a restaurant and catering business owner to found Homemade Fresh. So at the end of 2011, I did that, and I feel very fortunate because I'm one of those people who gets to whistle while I work.
That's great. And I remember when you started your own business and how happy you were because you started doing something that you really, really loved, and you knew that
right.
You were helping people to live, you know, healthier lives. But you keep talking about, you know, food and wellness. So what's your philosophy between food and wellness?
My philosophy is that, you know, your body is like, I use an analogy of a car engine, and you need fuel to run your engine. And you're either going to fuel up with good food, which is going to make your engine run smooth. It's going to make you feel better. It makes you more energetic. It makes you more productive. It makes your mood better. Or you're going to fuel up with bad fuel. And bad fuel, just like if you got bad fuel in your car, it's going to make your engine spit and sputter. You're not going to have very good performance. You're not going to feel very well. And, you know, for me personally, when I eliminated processed foods from my diet a few years ago, I couldn't believe how much better I felt and how much more productive I was and how much more energetic I was. And so, you know, that sort of started not just my business journey but my personal journey as well. And, you know, in my business journey, my goal is to help people transform the way that they eat so that they can be healthier and they can feel better. And I'm a huge believer in, you know, the topic that I'm going to be talking about next week at Every Woman Can Be is you are what you eat. And I'm a big believer in that. If you eat good food, you're going to feel good. If you eat bad food, you're going to feel bad. It's really pretty much that simple.
Yeah, and that's so true. And, you know, I know a lot of people that once they do start changing their habits and eliminating, you know, all the fast foods or processed foods, you know, you do feel better and you look better. So, but, you know, how do we give us some ideas of how we can put good fuel into our bodies? What are some of the, you know, good ideas for us to take to the grocery store or to the farmer's market or whatever?
Well, you know, one good piece of advice, and a lot of people may have heard this before, is when you're at the grocery store, you really want to focus your shopping on the outside of the supermarket. And what that means is, you know, your fresh fruits and vegetables, your fresh meats. You want to stay out of the center of the store as much as possible, which is where you got all your canned goods and a lot of your processed goods, because, you know, fresh food, it's not only better for you, but it tastes better too. And if you start really shopping for that fresh food, you're going to know a big difference. And, you know, as far as just in general putting good fuel in our bodies, you know, I think one mistake that people make is skipping meals, and that's one of the absolute worst things that you can do. I mean, my mother always told me, growing up, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and she was absolutely right because, you know, the fuel analogy that I use, you get up in the morning and your tank is pretty much empty. So you need to really make sure that in the mornings you're having something to eat, number one, but you're having something good to eat, number two. So, and what I mean by that is you want to have a good balance of protein and carbohydrates so that you can just sustain your energy. People who tend to skip breakfast, in particular, or just run out the door with a cup of coffee, what happens is that they set themselves up to be on an energy roller coaster all day long where, you know, they hit that caffeine hits their body and they climb, and then once the caffeine is gone because they don't have any good food in their system, they're going to tank. And then they might go to the snack machine and get something, and if it's sugary, they're going to get on that high again, and then they're going to tank. And it's not just breakfast. You shouldn't be skipping any meals. I know people who struggle a lot in life, and, you know, particularly people who struggle a lot with their weight, and they'll say, but, you know, I only eat one meal a day, and it's a dinner. And what that means is you starve your body all day long, so you put your metabolism into starvation mode literally. It doesn't know when it's going to get its next meal, so it actually stores fat. And then you've, you know, worked or done whatever all day long, and then you have a huge meal in the evening, and your body, you know, has been starving all day long, so it doesn't really know what to do with that, number one. And number two, because you haven't eaten anything all day long, chances are you're going to eat much more food than you should have eaten. So it's really, you know, I guess the bottom line is it's all about, you know, you want to fuel up regularly throughout the day. And when you're putting that fuel in your body, you want to make sure it's good foods. You know, stay away from the snack machine. If you need snacks to get you through the day, and a lot of people do, you know, try to have some good things in your desk drawer or in your car, you know, some homemade trail mix or nuts or, you know, something that's going to sustain you better than just a candy bar from the vending machine.
Right. Yeah, I actually have a jar of almonds in my car because I find myself sometimes, you know, it's getting close to lunch or whatever, and it's like, oh, I'm so hungry, so I'll just eat some almonds, and that kind of curbs my appetite till I can eat a decent, you know, lunch. But I know throughout my life, I've always had a hard time eating breakfast. And just like your mother, my mother would always say, Kathleen, you need to eat breakfast, especially when I was in high school. And I just don't enjoy eating breakfast for some reason. But as I've gotten older, I've made myself do it, even if it's a protein shake to get me through, you know, the morning. So I've gotten better, but I can sympathize with people that do have a hard time, especially with that first meal in the morning, which is the most important meal of the day. So, you know, you're exactly right. So it's something that I, you know, have to tell myself every single day to eat something in the morning. So,
and
you were talking about, you know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you were talking about shopping the outside of the store. So, you know, what should we look for, like, in the meat department and the produce departments?
Well, you want to be, you know, you got to be really careful. And there have been a lot of studies out in recent years about, you know, what goes into the United States food system. And sometimes it's a little bit scary. You know, I'm a big advocate of trying to buy as much organic as you possibly can. For example, in the meat department, the reason that's very important is because traditionally processed meat, they put a lot of, you know, you have hormones in there and you have antibiotics and you have all these things that commercially processed meat they're using to keep their animals so-called healthy. And, you know, they're, for example, with their chickens and their the cows or, and, well, the pigs, too, they're trying to sort of, you know, beef them up a little bit, too. But all of that throughout the processing system still ends up in our bodies. One example I like to give of this is you look at young girls and, you know, the average age of the onset of puberty, say, 30 years ago or 40 years ago compared to now. You know, it's amazing to me when I see these little, you know, 9- and 10-year-old girls who are already starting to reach puberty. And I really believe that a lot of that is due to some of the hormones that are in the meat. And as far as, you know, the fruits and vegetables go, you know, as much organic as you can buy as possible, because some people are hesitant to buy organic fruit or vegetables because they go, but it doesn't look as pretty. Well, the reason it doesn't look as pretty is because it doesn't have all those additives on it. Like if you've ever bought, you know, regular vegetables in a grocery store and they have like, you know, that slicky kind of whatever coating is that they put on the outside of it, they've done, you know, you have genetically modified fruits and vegetables, and those are things that you really just want to try to stay away from. But when you're buying your organic vegetables, one thing you need to keep in mind is they may not necessarily keep as long as other vegetables. There's something called the Dirty Dozen List and the Clean 15 List, and at the end of the call, I give my contact information. If anybody's interested in that, I'm happy to share it with you, because if you don't have the budget or if you can't find all organic fruits and vegetables, you can follow that list as a guideline. And anything that's on the Dirty Dozen list, you need to really try to buy organic if you can, because that means those items have the highest levels of pesticides in them. And then things that are on the Clean 15 list are things that have lower levels of pesticides in it. So those would be the things, if you can't find organic, those things are probably going to be a little bit better for you than things on the Dirty Dozen list.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, because the one fruit that comes, or vegetable that comes to mind, are cucumbers. What a difference it is between a regular grocery store cucumber that's got that waxy, slick feel to it, as opposed to if you go to the farmer's market and, you know, you see cucumbers and they're, you know, they're lighter in color for one thing, but it's because they have, you know, they don't have any processed chemicals on them. So, Yeah, I really agree with you to try and buy organic, even though it's a little bit more expensive. I think in the long run, you know, you're really helping your health a lot. Now, one thing I want to talk about is at the deli sections of grocery stores, or, you know, like they have the little kiosk or whatever, and they have like heat and eat meals from the deli. Are those fresh, healthy options to, you know, kind of grab and take home? What do you, what's your feelings about those?
Well, unfortunately, not necessarily. And the reason I say that is because it may look like it was freshly prepared in that grocery store deli, but chances are it was shipped in from somewhere else, and usually they will receive those things frozen and just keep them there and put them in the case or thaw them or whatever it may be. So those items are usually something that comes from a manufacturing plant, and they've been just as processed as the items that you get on the shelf. So you really have to be careful of that, unless you go someplace, you know, like a Whole Foods or an Earth Fair. You know, I think if you're going to do deli counter or places like that, you're probably going to get a little bit better opportunity to have fresher food. But typically, it's just as processed as the things you find in the center of the grocery store.
Yeah, and sometimes if I want to get one of the salads or whatever, I always ask, you know, how fresh it is and But I do try and stay, you know, and buy those things that, like you say, Whole Foods or Earth Fare and those type of grocery stores that tend to have healthier selections. So, well, you know, we have a lot of busy families, and I know a lot of the, you know, listeners, you know, have families. You know, they work late hours, but they want to, you know, put a healthy dinner on the table. And, you know, sometimes cooking foods is really intimidating for people that, you know, don't really have, you know, or have learned how to cook correctly or real healthy. So how can families eat healthier if they don't have a lot of time to cook?
Well, you know, one thing that people can do is if you've got time on the weekends, I think those are really good times to, in essence, do what I do for my clients, and that's prepare a lot of different things in bulk and go ahead and package them for the week. And you can keep about 4 days' worth safely in the refrigerator, and if you don't eat it within 4 days, it needs to be frozen. So, you know, there are a lot of things you can do in bulk, like, you know, spaghetti sauce and soups and stews. And another one of my favorite things to do is take chicken, like boneless, skinless chicken breasts, and just put a little salt, pepper, and olive oil on them and bake them. And then you can take those and package them in the freezer in serving sizes for whatever your family size is, and take those out, and you can do a million things with chicken breast. And, you know, most proteins you can cook in advance and freeze well. And some side dishes, it just depends on, you know, what that particular dish is. Vegetables, you can just blanch them a little bit and then go ahead and get those ready for the freezer, and then that way they're mostly cooked by the time you're ready to pull those out. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, my business is a byproduct of all of this. And, you know, that's why people hire me, because they want their family to eat healthier meals, and they don't have that time to do it. So if you've got time on the weekend, I think that's a great way to sort of plan. But, you know, what I do is I prepare, you know, a bunch of meals for a family, and it's all personalized. It depends on, you know, what their needs are, and do exactly what I just told you. I'll go ahead and package everything in family-sized servings. I'll leave them 4 days' worth in the refrigerator, and then I may leave them another 4 or 5 meals in the freezer. So that way all you have to do is just kind of pull it out and heat it and eat it. So those are much better options than grabbing something from the, you know, deli counter at the traditional grocery store, or, you know, whatever you do, please stay away from commercially frozen foods. Those things are just full of preservatives and sodium and chemicals, and just those things are really bad news. If you grab something out of a grocery store and there's a lot of ingredients on there you can't pronounce, chances are all that stuff you can't pronounce is probably not really good for you.
That's right. But, you know, we eat a lot of, because my husband can't eat beef, so we eat a lot of chicken and fish. And I think people, you know, kind of stay away from fish because they think it's so hard to cook and everything. But I think fish, you know, it's a really quick, easy meal to make. And so, you know, listeners really shouldn't steer away from, you know, picking up a piece of fish. You just have to cook it quickly with a little bit of seasoning, and you've got a great protein right there. So, but I know all of your clients are just thrilled to have you as their personal chef with all the wonderful meals you make, and, you know, they can come home and have, you know, just delicious meals for their families, and with maybe leftovers for lunch the next day, which is, you know, kind of an added bonus there. So
yeah, we didn't talk. I didn't think much about fish, but you know, sometimes people are afraid of reheating fish, but I make seafood for my clients all the time. It's just a matter of, you know, how you're reheating it, and it can reheat well, and it reheats quickly. Or, you know, this time of the year, it's getting warm, so if you've got a grill and you like to grill, yeah, absolutely. You can take a piece of fish or a piece of chicken and put some seasoning and a little olive oil on it and, you know, throw it on the grill. One of my favorite things to do is blackened fish, and that's really easy to do. So, yeah, absolutely. Don't be afraid of seafood. And even, you know, like I said, even cooking it and freezing it, it will be okay. Just make sure you don't dry it out when you reheat it.
Right. So it is okay to go ahead and cook it and and then freeze it, and it'll still taste, because I've never actually refrozen or frozen a cooked fish meal. So, but that does reheat okay?
Yeah, but you want to start out with, it's better to start out with fresh seafood.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you start out fresh and cook it. And then, yes, you can reheat it. Usually I'll tell people if you're going to reheat it, either, you know, throw it in a lightly greased pan, or you can throw it in the oven, or you can throw it on the grill. It just depends on, you know, what preparation method you prefer. But yeah, absolutely. Right. Don't be afraid to reheat fish.
Okay. Because I never really, well, yeah, I've never tried that before, but I think I'll try that, you know, and cook like two meals worth of fish, and then I have another meal later in the week. So good idea. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, all right, well, you've given us some great information, Lisa. And so if some of our listeners might like to get in touch with you about your personal chef service or even your catering service, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. Yeah, just to kind of clarify what all I do offer, you know, the traditional personal chef service is, in essence, I have usually regular clients, and we determine the schedule based on whatever their needs are, and I'll do meal plans for them, and the meal plan changes every time I go in to cook for them. So that's one option that, you know, I offer. And then you mentioned events. I do also do catered events as well. I can do dinner parties or casual parties or, you know, I do some business events as well. The one that you referenced was a business event that I had done for a group that you and I belong to. And if people want more information, the best thing to do probably is go to my website, which is homemadefresh.net, and that's H-O-M-E-M-A-D-E, fresh. .net, and you can take a look. You can get an idea of all the services that I offer. You can see some client testimonials to get an idea of the types of clients that I have. You know, a lot of times I actually hesitate to use the phrase personal chef because people hear that and they immediately think that it's something that's beyond their reach from a budget standpoint. And for some personal chefs, it may be. But when I founded my business, and Kathleen, you know me personally, so you know this, you know, I structured my business so that I could cook for you know, professional families. So my services absolutely from a cost standpoint are not out of reach. If you're eating out very much, chances are you're going to be spending about the same thing with my service, or you might even actually save a little money. I've had some clients tell me that as well. So website's the best place to reach me, and if you're interested in that Dirty Dozen Clean 15 list that I mentioned, let me just give you my email address. That's homemadefresh@att.net. And I will be happy to send that to anyone who would like to have it.
Great. Yeah, and I do have that list from you that I do have in my wallet that I carry to the grocery store, and I have referenced it from time to time. So
yeah.
Do give, you know, send an email to Lisa so she can send you that list because it really is helpful when you're in the grocery store. And it was really wonderful if you want to hear more about eating fresh and cooking fresh. Lisa is going to be our keynote speaker at the Every Woman Can Be monthly event this Thursday, April 16th at Maggiano's in South Park, Charlotte. And that's going to be from 11 to 1. And you can still register, so go to everywomancanbe.com. And you'll actually, when you open it up, you see Lisa right there. So just click and register. We'd love to come and, you know, have you come and meet everybody and meet Lisa and just get some more cooking healthy tips. So thank you so much, Lisa, for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from you on Thursday.
Sure thing. Sounds great.
Well, wonderful. Okay, and while you're on the website, you know, be sure to check out, we have many tabs there, and one is Hot Topics. And on that tab, you will find many articles on a variety of topics written by our members and our keynote speakers. And I'll be sure and ask Lisa to maybe, you know, put something up there to help you give some more ideas of when you're in the grocery store of making, you know, healthy selections. Now, we're also having our spring seminar, Map Your Way to Success, on Friday, April 24th from 10 to 2, and that will also be at Maggiano's in South Park. And you really don't want to miss this huge event and hear expert speakers on communication, social media, and sales. And our keynote speaker is going to be Barbara McKay, who is a local and national media personality. And I'm just so excited to meet her. I know a lot of people in Charlotte already are very familiar with her since I'm, you know, a transplant from another place. I'm really excited to meet her as well. So, you know, bring a coworker or bring a friend and, you know, just really enjoy this wonderful seminar and walk away with some really good ways to, you know, enhance and make your business more successful. So thanks for joining me on this call, and I hope you will join me for the next Every Woman Can Be Speaker Spotlight broadcast on May 11th at 12 noon. And remember, you are a woman with infinite possibilities and endless opportunities. Have a great afternoon, and I'll see you on Blog Talk Radio next time. Thank you.